Welcome to the Pens and Stuff podcast. It happens to be my grandma's favorite podcast and probably yours. I'm Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Abby.
I love how I always, like, after I say that, I go, I'm Andrew. Like, I forget my name for a moment.
Who am I?
Not Andrew, that's for sure.
But we
are here doing another podcast for you. Rain, shine, out of town, in town, uptown, downtown. We're here. We're ready. We're rolling. We're ready to talk about a disappointing week of Penguins hockey. Well, not disappointing. Disappointing game. Friday night.
Disappointing in, I don't know, just, I have no idea. It was just disappointing. It was like surprising, and then it was disappointing. If these two games had been reversed, then we'd probably be saying, oh, it was a really good week.
But not shocking. No, not at all.
Yeah.
Or if they could have pushed last night to overtime.
A 3-2 loss, we didn't play bad. We didn't really play that bad. It was just a couple costly things. But, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, the problem is they lost to Minnesota. Like, if it was a 3-2 loss to Winnipeg, we'd be like, hey, they played Winnipeg well, but Winnipeg's just better. But the fact that we beat Winnipeg and then couldn't beat Minnesota is just baffling.
It's embarrassing.
It's this team.
Yeah. So let's dive into the
week that was.
The week that was, yes. So we have the Penguins playing Winnipeg in Pittsburgh on Tuesday. They won that 3-0, a very impressive game. And then they played Minnesota Friday night, and they lost 3-2 in Flower's 1,000th game played.
Of course they did. Yeah. You can't beat Flower in his 1,000th game.
No, of course. No, you can't. Which I was like, of course his 100th game or 1,000th game was against Pittsburgh.
Of course
it was. That's probably why he hasn't played much this season, because they were trying to get it to when they played. But, you know, like, yeah, I don't know, but of course it was, and they played in Minnesota, and he played out of it. He made some great acrobatic saves there near the end. Like, Pittsburgh was buzzing, and it just...
Well, it was Flower being Flower.
Yep.
I mean, he looked like 20-year-old Flower and not 30, whatever he is now, year old Flower. So, yeah.
30...
Old Flower.
8? Is that right? No, he's not that old.
I think he's like 34.
Let me check. I have the rosters right here.
He's 39.
Oh, I was close. I said 38.
You were close, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it was pretty high up there.
Oh, he turns 40 in November.
Yep.
Holy
That's
Moses.
That's why everyone's saying he's going to retire this year, after this year.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean,
you know what would be awesome? Okay.
Listening.
Minnesota has no chance of making the playoffs, or if they do, winning. Send him back to Pittsburgh for his last half a season. We'll send you a fifth, you know, like
for his last month.
Just give him a solid and send him back to Pittsburgh. Like, Minnesota loves him, and he's been great in Minnesota, but it's Pittsburgh, man. Come on.
Yeah. It's true.
We'll send you Tristan Jarry.
No, we won't, actually. We're not going to do that.
That would be,
but anyway,
bad news.
That's a problem for when the trade deadline comes around. But let's talk about
this Jets game.
That's where I was going.
Okay, because the Jets game was incredible.
Yes, the Penguins.
My mind was blown. I was watching this game. I was just like, "Who is this team? What
Let
the
me
heck?
Introduce the game."
Continue. Go ahead.
The Penguins on Tuesday played the Jets in Pittsburgh. 3-0 was the final score. It was Sean Monahan's debut in Winnipeg. Shifley returned to Winnipeg, and they lost brutally to the Penguins.
But they did.
Yeah, talk about it, and then I'm going to bring something else up. So go ahead.
So, Brendan Dillon.
Oh.
Can we talk about him for a second?
Well, let's talk about the first goal was scored by Chris Letang. It was a very, very, very nice goal. He just walked right in, shoot, score. It was very nice. Backhand, I think it was far side.
Yes, it was.
Very nice goal from Chris Letang. We haven't been seeing a lot of that from him recently, but it was very nice. So kudos to Chris Letang for that one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then at with
7:33 gone.
Yeah, it was a penalty. Brendan Dillon comes up against Nolachari and checks him in the head, shoulder to head contact. He did get 3 games suspension. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
He did get a three game suspension for that hit. Also got a match penalty for that hit. 5-minute major. And so the Penguins go to the power play. Now, when this happened, my mind is going, they need to score on this, otherwise they are going to lose this game. Did either of you have that thought in your head when this happened?
I turned it on and they were already on it, so you know, I didn't get much.
Okay.
My
thought was, yeah, that this was one of those games that Pittsburgh had to win, or one of the, this was a power play that they had to score on. Otherwise, you know, I thought that would just be the end of the game for them. But they did come through with actually 2 goals on that power play, one from Jeff Carter on a real nice wraparound. It was nice. It was a nice goal. And then Brian Rust scores about 2 minutes, well, a minute and a half later with really what amounted, at least in my mind, amounted to a bad play from Connor Hellebuyck in goal. And they wound up getting a good bounce. Both of those goals, I think, were good bounces for the Penguins. And Andrew, you and I were talking last night that it just seems like sometimes the bounces just did not go Pittsburgh's way, or haven't been going Pittsburgh's way during this season. So yeah, good game from Pittsburgh. Jari played out of his mind, I thought.
He played very, very well. He made some very, very good saves.
Saw a statistic that his goals against average against Winnipeg is like 1.5. And his save percentage is like up in like almost 950 something. So
he did take a penalty in this game, though.
He did take a holding penalty. He was getting kind of feisty. Yep, that was pretty funny. Actually, I thought that was kind of funny, but yeah. So they play Winnipeg again Saturday, which is the day we're recording this.
Do your stats against the Jets?
Yes.
His goals against is 0.98,
and his it's save sub
percentage
one.
Is 9.65.
Okay,
against the Winnipeg Jets, and he's 5-0. So it's that not just like insane. 2 games against the Jets; it's been 5
consistent. That's
consistency.
That's yeah. Bonkers. That's bonk.
Right, I mean, there. From what I can see, he's only got. Well, I can't. Come on, I don't want to pay $20 a month for StatMuse Plus. Whatever, but. Yeah, he has a 9, at least above 900 save percentage against most teams. So
cool.
That's crazy.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
No, that's all right. I was pretty much done anyway.
Did Abby have other things to say? She was going to say something. I think I didn't. No, nothing. Mm-mm. All right. So the Penguins, you know, they scored, you said it, 2 times on the power play. Went 2 for 3, although the Winnipeg Jets only took 5 penalty minutes. So they must count. As three power plays when you get a 5-minute major, I guess. I don't know.
That is strange. Because it's like 2.5 penalties worth or power plays worth. That's weird, though.
Yeah, but the Penguins then played in Minnesota this Friday, losing 3-2, not in overtime, in regulation. And Kirill Kaprizov scored the game winner for the Pittsburgh for the Minnesota Wild, but. In this one, both teams went 1 for 6 on the power play. One thing I was very disappointed in is that Penguins couldn't score more on the power play because Minnesota's power penalty kill is ranked 30th in the league.
Yeah, they're awful.
Probably not anymore because of this game, but it was disappointing.
Yeah.
Take it away. Yeah. Talk about this game.
I didn't see much of it, but what I did see, I think it was... I mean, I think Pittsburgh played decently. I mean, we were kind of in a situation where there were a lot of people talking and a lot of things going on. So it was hard to just kind of sit and stare at this game and really dissect it. You know what I'm saying? But from just what I saw, you know, they looked like they were playing fairly good defense. Yeah, I mean, the difference in my mind, as we were talking, Andrew, is just a lot of times Pittsburgh, the shots that the Penguins were getting, would either hit a guy in front or, you know, Fleury was making a great save or something like that. They had opportunities and they did take shots, but they weren't getting through.
I told this to Andrew last night, and watching this game, it was super frustrating. I said, this team has forgotten the reason why you make a pass. You don't make a pass just to make a pass. Mm-hmm. You make a pass in order to fool a goalie or in order to mess up the defense so that you have a better opportunity of scoring. If the pass is not going to give you a better opportunity to score, then just shoot the puck.
Amen.
This team has forgotten, like what the point of it is. They're just trying to make pretty plays. They're trying not to be selfish. And it's frustrating as heck. They would not take shots. They would always look for the pass. And the one guy, well, the two guys, the one guy that I saw that wasn't doing it, Erik Karlsson. He is so hungry. He wants to score. He was mad. He was so mad in that third period last night. He was like, I just want to score a freaking goal. And you could see it. And he was the only one out there, basically. Him and Jesse Puljujärvi, because they both want to score. Mm-hmm. They were both taking shots, good shots. They weren't being stupid. They were making passes when the passes made sense, but they weren't just passing to pass.
Yeah, there were a couple times I noticed both guys that you mentioned, Jesse and Erik Karlsson, where they took a shot and it just hit the guy in front of them, like right in the shins.
Yep.
And it bugged me because then, you know, Minnesota took over, but the fact at least they're not passing and it gets turned over. Like, I mean, it technically isn't a turnover because you're taking a shot, but.
And the one thing, Erik Karlsson, when we had the net empty, Erik Karlsson took a shot from the low left circle. The net mm-hmm. was wide open. And what mm-hmm. was there? Brock Faber's skate.
Mm-hmm.
We're just not getting the luck.
No, not at least not last night.
Mm-mm.
No.
It'll be interesting to see if that, I mean, things like that tend to balance out eventually. And if that does, I think Pittsburgh will go on a fairly mm-hmm. decent run here in the last couple of months of the season.
They better get
cracking at it because,
well, that's true.
They don't have much time left.
But
I think these players have tipped over a few too many salt shakers, if you know what I mean.
But sometimes, to Abby's point, you make your own luck, right? You make your own luck by taking the shot when it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And not saying, well, this will make a pretty highlight or this will be something people will remember. You know what people are going to remember? Winning games, scoring goals. You're not going to score a goal if you don't take the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Michael Scott once quote Wayne Gretzky by saying you miss 100% of the shots you don't take?
Yes.
So, yeah, we need to get that mindset back.
Honestly.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because it's the guys who can score that aren't shooting.
Yeah.
Like right. Jake Guentzel, like Sidney Crosby, like Evgeny Malkin. They're making these passes and it's like you're just forcing it at this point. Like just take a shot. Like, you wear the goalie down. Take three shots in a singular offensive possession. Maybe one of them goes in. Like, if you're getting a rush and you're not even getting a single shot off, it's just so frustrating.
Yeah, agreed.
You're wasting opportunities, scoring chances. Like, a single shot is better than nothing, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was, like, a clear-cut, obvious, you should have passed there. But
yeah, I think what's most annoying about this game is that we were down 1-0 at the end of the first period, right? We come out within 3 minutes, Riley Smith scores.
Yep.
And we're like, okay, we're back into this. And then Jonas Brodin gets the luckiest butt bounce or shot that I've seen. Well, bounce and shot that I've seen on our best defenseman in Marcus Pettersson. Like, that won't happen often. You know, like, Marcus Pettersson's going to get that out of the front of the net more times than not.
You and would it think.
Just, it went right to his skate or stick, the stick. And then we're down 2-1 going into the third. And within pretty much a minute, Sidney Crosby scores one of the most beautiful goals of the season. And we're like, okay, we're back into this. And then, of all people, Kirill Kaprizov, who Abby and I both called a little, scores the game winner. And it's, and Abby, I said something because I was pissed. I was like, yeah, if Jari was in net, we would have won that game. And Abby was like, actually, none of those goals were on Nedeljkovic last night. None of them were. And I was like, now I like waking up, I'm like, I think it was one of the first thoughts in my head this morning. I was like, yeah, Ned, and none of them were Ned's fault. Mm-mm. The Kaprizov one was off a rebound, like, and he dove. He could have made the, like, he made the effort. It just was a well-placed shot. The Jonas Brodin one, like I said, was lucky. And then Matt Boldy, Pettersson went for a poke check, and Boldy just, a beautiful, I think it was a toe drag around his stick and just sniped it. So,
which at that point, the goalie is kind of depending on, because if the defenseman's right there.
Like, I mean, the defenseman's trying to make
you're the play. You're anticipating a shot, but like also it's just hard, especially when they're in so tight.
Yeah, and you're also not, you're not, you know, like if there's a body right in front of you, you can't really see where the puck is until.
Right. You have to make a split second action or whatever.
And so, yeah, I don't hold any of them against Ned. I was just. Okay. Annoyed in the moment.
Just saw this goal.
Which one?
The
Boldy
the,
one?
The game winner.
Oh, yeah.
So that initial shot breaks Jeff Carter's stick.
Yeah.
Or Brian Rust's stick or whoever that was.
Yeah.
And it was Brian Rust. And so, yeah, that's just dumb luck.
Yeah, yep. The fact that it bounces straight to like your best player right there in the
that's just yeah. I'm sorry, that's dumb luck.
Yep.
And then a great shot from Kaprizov.
Oh, absolutely, but he's Kirill Kaprizov.
Right.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Yeah.
Of all the guys it could have gone to. But all guys,
yeah. All right. Again, so grade for the week for the Penguins, Abby, what you got?
A minus. B plus somewhere in there because they played well. They played well. I don't have any complaints about how they played. There weren't any specific plays where it's like, oh my gosh, that was terrible. Like, you know, when Letang threw it into our own net or whatever, you know, those are the kinds of plays that you're like, that was really bad. But there was nothing like that. They were skating well, like they beat Winnipeg handily. And then they were skating right there with Minnesota. So overall, we played very well this week, in my opinion.
Yep.
We just couldn't finish it.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. All right.
Jim, great.
I would actually, for that reason, the reason that Abby said, I think I would drop that down a little lower. And I'll tell you why, because Minnesota is a team that you have to beat. Minnesota is a team that you need to win that game because you're playing Minnesota. And I understand that you shut out Winnipeg, and that's great. But if you don't come through and beat the teams that you need to beat, mm-hmm. that brings to in my mind that brings the grade down more than you beating a team that you shouldn't beat raises it. So I would put them at a B minus, maybe a C plus.
Woof. Yeah, I would go B plus. I'm with Abby. I think, I mean, you outscore your opponent 5-3 in those two games. You get depth scoring. You get scoring from your defense. Like, you're getting what you need.
They got grit in that Minnesota game too.
Yeah,
and the Winnipeg. They got people down and dirty.
And Jesse Puljujarvi adds a little bit of that to our team too. Like, you wouldn't expect it, but he does. But
he's just a big body.
Yeah, my fear for this Minnesota game is that the Penguins were already looking ahead to today, Saturday, to Winnipeg again, just because of what happened to Nola Chari. I mean, he didn't make play in Minnesota. You're wanting to get back some in front of the hometown boy, you know, like in front of Winnipeg's hometown team, like
sure
fans. So it's like I feel like there might have been a little bit of taking Minnesota too lightly,
so
which is an issue for the Penguins. But all in all, I mean,
to me,
it was a good week.
Yeah, to me, opinion. It's easy to get up for teams like Winnipeg that are playing well.
Yeah,
it is. It shows more of your
character
as a team to get up for teams that are weak.
Yeah,
and to just step on their throat. And this is another thing, right? These teams that we play that we should be beating, we never score first. I mean, I don't know the exact stats. It would be interesting to go in and actually find that out. But how do you figure that a team, you know, playing a team like a Montreal or Anaheim or a Columbus or a Minnesota, and we don't score first? We're always playing from behind against these teams. Is that coaching? Is that leadership? Yes, on both counts. But at the same time, this team, for whatever reason, and maybe it's the familiarity in the locker room, and maybe Dubas needs to shake things up a bit. I don't know. But it is definitely frustrating to see time and time and time and time again. It is just very, very frustrating.
Yeah. So B plus. Did you give him an A minus, Abby? Right, and then a C plus from Jim.
B minus.
Well, you said C minus.
I said between B minus and C plus. That's what I said.
Okay. Cool.
Check the tape, baby.
Okay, so we got a couple games this week. Or no, we got three. Wow.
Three games, guys.
We're eating good here.
No way.
And unfortunately, one of them is on the 14th. So. Well, that's one I couldn't watch anyway because it's nationally broadcasted. But this time we have today, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Winnipeg Jets in Winnipeg. Then we're home for Florida on the 14th, Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you guys.
Thank you.
That's
you
on too. TNT. And then 15th, a month from my birthday, we have Chicago, 8:30 in Chicago. And that is local broadcast or ESPN Plus if you have it. So out of those three games, 6 points up for grabs. How many points do you think the Penguins get, and what's their record? Jim, I'll let you go first this time.
My heart wants to say six. I'll say four.
Okay.
And here's, and just from what we've seen from this team, we'll beat Winnipeg, we'll beat Florida, we'll lose to Chicago.
Yep.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking 4 points. I mean, Chicago's at home. We were watching, so the Rangers were playing Chicago last night and it went to overtime, so I clicked it on after the Pens lost. I was like, we need to watch something fun. And obviously, Chicago lost, which was tragic because Mika Zibanejad had the booty bum.
Yeah, Mika scored. I hate Mika Zibanejad.
The man. However,
like a... sorry.
No, it's okay. Chicago's barn was very full, like very full, which was shocking because Bedard's not even playing.
Usually so is.
Like, why are there so many people here? This team sucks. Like their 3-on-3 overtime lineup was Jason Dickinson, Tyler Johnson, and Seth Jones. Like that's embarrassing. That's bad. But yeah, so Chicago's like playing Chicago at home, they automatically have an advantage because their fans are like really good. So I don't think they'll probably beat Chicago, but we'll see. Maybe they will.
Yep.
So you're saying four as well.
Depending on if Peter Mrazek starts, because that man's a stone wall.
Especially except against the Penguins. Shooting on him.
No, he let in 4 goals in that game, but I have him in fantasy, so we just have to say that he's a stone wall.
And they're going to score. They're going to win all three games. 6 points. So moving on, we have some preseason award or preseason. What am I talking about?
Mid-season
awards. Normally, this would go in random crap we want to talk about, but we're doing the 45 of the last 45. So, mid-season awards. We have best player for the Penguins, worst player for the Penguins. We have most surprising, most disappointing, and most shocking, either good or bad. You know, a nice little nod for that. So, or more.
But we said impressive.
I apologize. Yes, it was originally in the morning meeting. It was most. Anyway,
it doesn't matter.
So let's start out with the best player. It's early. The best player on the Penguins, and this is just for the Penguins. Jim, you go first because you had these written up last week, and then we scrapped it.
Gonna go with Sid. He's having a monster year for a guy his age.
Yep.
And I think you could give it to it. Probably a couple other guys too, but I think Sid's the runaway best player on this team right now.
Agreed. I agree with you. Yes. I was going to say Sid because I was like, you can't not say Sid, right? But I was like, I figured someone else would say Sid. So I'm actually going to go with Marcus Pettersson because he has been hands down our best defenseman.
Yeah.
And like he's working at both sides of the puck. He robbed me of 5 points in that Montreal game by scoring in overtime. So
the toe drag release was real.
It was an insane goal. Like, how does that guy score that goal? I have no idea. But he's been a very, like, very solid defensively. He's our best defensive defenseman, period. And he's also been very, very good on the offensive side of the puck as well. Yeah. And solid PK-er. Just really, really good all around. So I'm going to say Marcus Pettersson.
Yeah, that's a good one. I have Sid written down, and since you already said Sid and Abby said Marcus, he would be my second one. I'm actually going to go Tristan Jarry. He has been I guess he should probably go more in the shocking area, but he's our best goaltender, right? We get hit four defensemen and goaltender. Like, it's Jarry. Like, he's been playing very, very well, and he's been proving the doubters wrong. You know, I think we all doubted the contract that he got in the offseason. And so far, in my opinion, he wasn't showing it at the beginning of the season, but he's been showing it recently that he deserved the contract. Maybe not necessarily deserved, but he deserved. He's living up to it. That's the word I'm looking for. So I'll go. Sidney Crosby or Tristan Jarry. I'm sorry. All right. So we got the worst player on the team. Jim, go.
Gino.
Whoa.
I think if you look at production versus expectation, his gap is the largest of anybody on the team. You could say Carlson, but we all figured Carlson's numbers would go down playing on a team like Pittsburgh because there's a lot more scoring and stuff to go around.
Yep.
So I think Gino has to be the worst player on this team right now. And he's for some reason, the eye test as you watch him play, I don't know if he just hasn't, I don't know. I don't know if things are, things are bad at home or if things are, there are a lot of things that could be going on with this guy, but we just don't know. But he just, he doesn't, this Gino from 23-24, he is the gap between what was expected and what we're seeing is just too great for me not to put him in this category.
Yeah. Gonna be real. Would not be surprised if he retires at the end of the year. Would not be surprised.
Yep, me neither.
All right, Abby.
I'm gonna say Ryan Graves.
Ah, shoot.
He has been I kind of went with a defenseman kick, you will see as I go, but
we forgive you.
Ryan Graves is just, he has not really been there. He'd been bumped down to the third line. He made several really bad plays and he had a really bad stretch in there. But honestly, I think most of the guys on our team are kind of like doing really well. Dad said Gino's not doing very well. I think he's getting there. Like he's had a horrendous year for Gino, but I think he's getting there. I think at this moment in time, Ryan Graves is performing under expectations the most. he's also been getting better. I think the Penguins are on a, like, collectively, they're on a, like, an incline. They're getting there. Maybe too little too late, but we'll have to see. But I just think overall Ryan Graves has not really been the type of defenseman. Like, the first couple games, he was great. I was really excited about him. But then he just started making more mistakes and just kind of not – he's not a very crisp defenseman, which is kind of what you need. He's not – he seems to be a little bit behind on a lot of things, like a lot of plays and stuff. And so, yeah, I'm going to say Ryan Graves.
Fair, fair. For me, I'm picking one entire group of people, I suppose you could say, and I'm just saying the power play. I'm so upset at the power play, and it's been the worst thing. Like, we play better 4-on-5, like being down by 4, than being on the man advantage. We play better on the penalty kill than on the man advantage. Like, we score more, I feel like. And I mean, it's not true, I mean, but it feels like true, that.
But it does feel like that.
And so, you know, it's just the worst. Every time we go to the power play, I'm just like, oh, well, here we go. And then when we score, I'm ecstatic. I'm like, it's back. We're back. We're going to score every time now. And then it's just not. Like, you look at these teams, right, that have like 4 or 5 big guys, and that's it. Like a Toronto, like a Colorado. And you're like, they may not be winning much, but at least they score on the power play. Like, they're not, like, Toronto's not going to win a cup that way. But at least they score on the power play. At least they're a high-scoring team. And Pittsburgh, we're not going to win a cup, and we're not going to score on the power play either. And it's just disappointing. Anyway, it's the worst. Jim, the most impressive player on the team.
I went with Abby's best player on this one and chose Marcus Pettersson. Marcus Pettersson. I think he's been... For all the reasons that Abby was saying, I think he's been the most most impressive as far as how he's made his presence felt, taken, you know, not being afraid to take the shot. I think he's been more conscious offensively, but he's also he continues to be solid defensively. If that makes sense.
Yep. Abby.
My most impressive player is Alex Nedeljkovic. Coming into the season, I had no expectations for him. I'm like, okay, he'll be an okay backup. He'll play 10 games, 15 games. It'll be what it is. He'll play when we play back-to-backs. That's it. Jari goes down with an injury.
Yes, he does.
And Ned comes in, plays. I don't think Jari wasn't out for that long, a couple games. Ned becomes a starter for a couple games. He plays super well, kind of takes that role over. Then Ned gets injured. He's okay. I mean, it is what it is. And then he comes back. He plays phenomenally. I think he's gone, like, in this season alone, but throughout his entire career, he's gone through a lot, and he's really proving himself with, like, the type of goalie he was in Carolina. And with the type of goalie he wasn't in Detroit, he's kind of come back to vintage Ned this year, which I'm very happy for him and very happy that it's worked out that way for Pittsburgh, because it's one of the redeeming points of this team is that we actually have a pretty okay goalie tandem at the moment.
Yeah. Valid. My most impressive is Jeff Carter.
That's fair.
Most impressive, like where he was last year. Okay. Logic is
go ahead.
Where he was last year, everyone crapping on him. We did it ourselves. I mean, we were big Jeff Carter fans, right?
Literally. I've always been a big Jeff Carter fan. We were down on him
because he was freaking Carter. Remember? And then he just went down out of nowhere last year. I mean, he's old, but he went out of nowhere. He crapped out last year, and we were, you know, we don't wave pom poms for anybody, but we'll just tell it like it is. And Jeff Carter was playing like crap. And now this year, his role has been diminished, but it's where he needs to be now. And I believe last year we were constantly talking that he needs to be on the fourth line.
Yeah.
And Mike Sullivan would not.
He needed to be on the wing because he couldn't come back and play defense.
Yep.
That's what it was.
On the wing, on the fourth line, I believe. We said he needed less minutes.
Yeah.
And that's where he is now. Mm-hmm. But
and he's thriving.
And the thing is, I don't think it was Mike Sullivan. We blamed Mike Sullivan, but I think it was Ron Hextall.
Agreed.
Because I feel like Mike Sullivan, I mean, obviously he put him down now. Or maybe he just didn't feel like he had a solid third line center and Jeff was the best option. But now Jeff Carter is playing very well on that fourth line wing role. And, you know, I mean, we have center depth up our nose now. So it's like, it doesn't matter.
It's true
that Jeff Carter's playing the wing. So, and an honorable mention to Valtteri Pustinen, but he got sent down for unexplained reasons.
Well, I think it's because his contract is two-way. A lot of these other guys don't have two-way contracts.
That's true. That's true. But now that Noel Achari's out, I feel like
they recalled Colin White, which I don't know why.
But I mean, Colin White.
He played in that Minnesota game.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Okay. So we got most disappointing, Jimothy.
I'm going to go with Erik Karlsson. He's been playing fairly well, but this, what we're getting from him is not what everybody expected from him. And so that's disappointing, in a big way. Again, giving him a bit of a pass because, you know, what he came from, he had to be the guy coming in here to Pittsburgh. He doesn't have to be the guy, but yep. In my mind, that would have freed him up to be a little more creative and be a little bit more assertive and be a little bit more of what made him so great in San Jose. But that just, it's not panning out right now. And to me, that's a little disappointing.
Yeah. But, Abby.
Yes. I also said Erik Karlsson and Gino combined because they both, you expect a lot more from them. Period. Like
yep.
They're both players extremely offensively skilled. They're not taking chances when they have them. They're not scoring goals. They're not making plays. They're just not doing it. And you like specifically on the power play, like you have these guys, you have a really, really good on paper power play.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, it's just not clicking. And so that's just extremely disappointing for all the reasons Jim said on both Gino and Karlsson. You just, there's this expectation when you hear, oh, Erik Karlsson, he's elite. He just won the Norris Trophy last year. He scored 100 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you expect better. At least better. It doesn't have to be 100-point scoring. It doesn't have to be even a Norris candidate. But you need to do better.
Yeah.
And so I'm just super disappointed in that. But.
Yeah. I have Gino. I think we can all agree on that. I mean, you know, enough said. We already talked about him a couple times, so it's
yeah.
Like, it's whatever.
No more ripping on Gino.
Let's not pile on.
Yeah. Not that he listens to the podcast, but
he might.
Gino, if you're out there, we'd love you to, you know, come on the show.
He is score. He is score.
Yes, we would.
We still love you, even though.
Praying for you, buddy.
It's not your year.
Praying for you, buddy. Like I
just said, we don't wave pom-poms for anybody. We just tell it like it is. It's true.
Well, right. And we also don't crucify people either. I mean we do call out
off with Matt Murray's head back in the day. We didn't say that like everyone else.
This podcast was
Matt Murray
and kicking
friendly.
When Matt Murray was going through his thing. And if you go back, listen to some of our early episodes, Abby wasn't on the pod yet. You know,
I was guesting on the pod.
Yeah. We supported Matt Murray 100%.
We did. And I mean, we still do.
Like trash, but we were like, Matt Murray does not deserve the crap that he's been getting from the fans.
Well, he got death threats because Pittsburgh fans are insane.
Pittsburgh fans need to be better. Anyway, our most shocking player of the year, good or bad? Jim.
Mine is in a good way, and that is Nedeljkovic. The way that he has played in goal when he has been in goal has been very good. Like you said last night, the two goals he let in, or two of the goals that he let in, maybe even all three, weren't his fault.
I'd say all three.
He's been playing a lot better than anybody, I think. And I do mean anybody, maybe even himself, thought he would do with this team. But so for me, that is a pleasant surprise, most shocking in a good way. Nedeljkovic.
I disagree. I believe when you go back and listen to the episode, guys, when it was said that Nedeljkovic was coming to Pittsburgh, I was on board 100%. Jumped on that train, and anyone else who's trying to get on can get the heck off, because we don't need any bandwagoners on the Ned train. I'm the conductor of the Ned train. I'm throwing coal in the engine of the Ned train. Everyone can get the heck off. Abby, who is your most shocking player?
I have two that neither of you probably have, but I'm going to start with Lars Eller. Because him coming in, solid third line center. I was scared because he's also old.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, another old player. Perfect. Thanks, Dubas. It's awesome. But he has been very, very good on that third line. He's played into his role very well. And every time they're on the ice, like, I'm not scared. You know, right. he's a really good player, two-way player. He's a
responsible player.
He is, and you don't see him. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't necessarily make awesome plays, but, like, I say this a lot. If you don't see him, then they must be doing something right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially for bottom line guys.
It's like offensive linemen in football. Right. You don't hear their name, they're doing their right job.
Exactly. So I think Lars Eller has been very good. He's also very significant part of that penalty kill as well. So that's been kind of shocking. But also another shocking guy for me is Jansen Harkins, in not necessarily a good way. It's shocking to me that he keeps getting the green light above guys like Pustinen. Why are you laughing?
You're 100%, right? You're 100% right. No, it's true. But I didn't think this was the way the award would go. But you know what?
No, it's shocking to me how much he's getting iced. And I understand that we don't have that gritty grinder type of player. And I think that's what they're trying to bring in with him, which I understand. And he's been doing well. But I think we could get more goal scoring from other players.
For sure, for sure.
But I don't think that's what at least Sullivan thinks we need. And so I'm not mad that Harkins has been getting started, but it is shocking to me because I'm like, I feel like if I were the coach, I might try something different, but I'm not the coach. And, you know, I'm not getting paid to do that job. I'm only sitting here talking about it, not getting paid, but it's okay.
You know what? I mean, we get a little bit of pay from DraftKings Sportsbook.
Just a little bit.
Just a little
but
bit.
But that's my shocking players. That would be.
Yeah. See, I have written down Marcus Pettersson. But the more I think about it, the more I remember, and I'm like, I'm not really surprised by Marcus Pettersson. I knew who he was. Mm-hmm. You know, like, this is Marcus Pettersson, and he's been playing really well. So I'm struggling to find someone because everyone's pretty much living up to my expectations. Like, when Lars Eller came in, I was like, that's a great third-line center. And I was excited because that meant Jeff Carter would not be playing third-line center. Because obviously Lars Eller is not a fourth line guy,
right.
But Jeff Carter's no, like, he would either be moved to the wing on the third line or bumped down to the fourth. And I was like, oh, that's good. And with Ned, I told you guys I was on the Ned train from the beginning of the season. So I'm racking my brain, and I'm going to say Jesse Puljujärvi. I know he's been on the team for like two games, but I've loved what I've seen from him. I think he's exactly what the team needed. A youngster who's large.
Yes,
and fast, and it's been cool to see. And I don't know. I think this means Harkins is probably going to get scratched when everyone else is healthy. Him and Carter probably when Nieto comes back, when Achari comes back. You know, like I hope Puljujärvi doesn't get scratched because we need that young.
He won't get scratched. He got a $2 million deal.
Yeah, I mean.
Isn't it?
It's a 2-year 1.5, or it's an eight. It's the minimum. It's 890K for 2 years.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. But so I'm going to say, yes, he pulled the RV. Honorable mention to Drew O'Connor because Drew O'Connor's been playing.
Yeah. I was thinking about him, but also John Ludvík was kind of shocking.
Oh, good one. Yeah.
He hasn't been playing because I think he's been injured, but
I mean, he's healthy now, but I think they're afraid of starting him until he's shown some.
But he was kind of a shocker because I'd never heard of him. They called him up and I was like, dang, this kid knows how to play defense and like throw the body. Yeah, like that physical gritty guy as well. But
Puljujärvi's on an $800,000 contract for this year and next year.
Yep. So it's a 1.6 milli over the span of 2 years. But we will hear from DraftKings Sportsbook and come back with random crap we want to talk about today.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has got you covered. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly. in bonus bets. They've got lines such as the Chiefs on the money line at plus 105. And I like George Kittle at as an anytime touchdown scorer at plus 140. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, welcome back. We decided as a crew to forego random crap we want to talk about because it's already so late. So you will get a double doozy of 45 in the last 45 next week. So come back for that. It'll be 20 to 11. Women will be in the top 10.
That's exciting.
And then we'll be done with it.
All right.
But let's get into the prediction contest.
Okay. Last week, All-Star Weekend, just for conversation's sake, Andrew and I both picked a team for the winning who would win the All-Star game. Andrew picked Team McKinnon, right?
I picked Team McKinnon and I lost in the first.
And I picked Team Matthews. And Team Matthews came out on top.
It was a foregone conclusion
because it was in Toronto anyway. You know, the refs were going to hose whoever they played.
Team Matthews was literally just the Leafs and company.
Yeah.
Okay, and the same for Team
McDavid.
For Team Hughes. It was team just Hughes.
Oh yeah.
Can I say something? Abby and I were talking about this. Sorry, sidebar. I believe that if you're going to do the celebrity coaches, let them draft the teams.
Yeah.
No player captains. Celebrity captains.
Well, you still have player captains, but
okay, you can have it, but celebrity coaches, they get chosen with a captain. Yeah, we'll do that. They get a division captain, and then they pick the teams, and that way you don't get like Matthews feeling obligated to take Riley and Marner and Nylander.
Okay.
Because that's what it is. They feel obligated, and then you get what the fans want. You get McDavid playing with Crosby because he doesn't feel obligated to take Draisaitl first overall. But
here's the thing though. If Bieber is the captain of that team, he's going to pick all Toronto players.
Perhaps, but the fans...
And Michael Bublé still would have picked all the Vancouver Canucks because he's a Canucks fan. So it wouldn't matter.
But I don't like seeing players play with each other every game.
How about this?
The All-Star game together.
Then they should have had six Vancouver Canucks there.
How about this then? Make a rule that says...
One player per...
That the teams... Because like if you have six... All-stars from one team, then that's not going to work. But you say they have to be evenly spread out. Like if you have six players from one team, you can't have more than two Canucks on any one team.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that way you might have like three teams might have two and that would be fine.
It's a foregone conclusion, you know, that there's going to be more players because I don't want this rule that there has to be one player from each team.
Agreed.
Want there to be the best players get to the All-Star game. But I also don't want to see the guys who play on the same team all year together on the same team.
Agreed.
Because, I mean, you got that with the Metro Atlantic, and I like the player draft, but I want it to be spread apart. That's why the player draft's so fun.
Right.
Because then you get guys from the West playing with guys from the East, and it's different, and
it's fun.
Exactly. Like Jack Hughes and Quinn Hughes can play together. That's awesome.
Yep.
Connor McDavid and Nathan McKinnon get to play, or not Connor McDavid.
Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid. Yeah. It's fun. So
but anyway, back to the predictions.
So All-Star Weekend.
Fix yourself, NHL. You did it with the skills competition.
Yes,
which was a blast, by the way.
Yes, it was. All right, so we picked five games last week again. New York at Toronto. New York won that game 3-2, and Abby picked New York to win that game 3-2. So she got 3 points.
Impressive, Abby.
I did?
Well done.
I didn't even know that.
Yes, you did.
Following predictions this week.
Yes, you did. The next game we picked was Winnipeg at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, of course, we've already talked about that, won this game 3-0. Abby and Andrew both picked Pittsburgh. I picked Winnipeg.
That's what you get for being a doubter, dude.
But you know what, though? I was happy. Even though I missed the pick, I was still happy. So then the next game was Dallas at Buffalo. We all picked Dallas to win this game. Dallas did win this game 2-1.
Both stars.
Was very close.
Okay, can I say something about this game?
Yes, you may, quickly.
First game after the All-Star break, Jake Oettinger comes back. 47 save game. And I benched him in fantasy.
Oh, that's awkward for you.
Game four was Minnesota at Chicago. Minnesota wins this game 2-1. And Jim was the only one who picked that game for Minnesota. And then the last game was Vancouver at Boston. We all picked Vancouver to win this game. And guess what? Boston blanked them 4-0. So the final tallies at the end of week 18 were Jim still in first place with 50, Abby getting closer with 49, and then Andrew at 46. Nice. So
it's still anyone's game.
It is still anyone's game. So the percentages.
If I had gotten that overtime prediction, I would be miles ahead of you, fools.
Andrew, Andrew's sitting at 48.2%, Abigail at 52.9%, and Jim at 57.6%. So as an overall team, we are 135 correct predictions team-wise out of 255 for a 52.9% average. So
if this was the NBA, we'd be not even a playing team.
Well, that's true. That's true. But that was last week. The five games we're picking this week, I can take criticism. I just wanted to say this because there was a point somewhere, I'm not sure if it was last week or the week before, when Andrew was wondering why we're not picking more Pittsburgh games each week. So
it's not, no. What I said was we're picking, we need to have a rivalry games. We need rivalry games.
Well, we're picking two. Not sure what that was. We're picking two.
Good heavens.
Two Penguins games this week. Tonight's game against Winnipeg. Pittsburgh at Winnipeg. Then Sunday's game, Vancouver at Washington. Tuesday, Tampa Bay at Boston. Wednesday, Florida at Pittsburgh, and then Thursday, Dallas at Nashville.
Dallas owns Nashville.
I brought that up on week 15 when we didn't pick a Pittsburgh game.
Right. There was only one game that week, and it was like a garbage game.
Dallas and Vancouver, Washington isn't a garbage game.
It's Vancouver, Abby.
It's Vancouver.
No, Vancouver's obviously going to win that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were obviously going to win Boston, too.
Washington is but no, they weren't, obviously. That's the top two teams in the league playing each other.
Well, then why didn't anyone pick Boston?
Because no one believes in Boston.
Because we're dumb. Okay.
Obviously, you didn't believe in Boston.
As
I just thought Vancouver would want get back from the 2011 Cup. That's all I thought.
They've already gotten back.
That's 13 years ago this year, guys.
Dude, imagine if it happens again.
All right.
Oh. What if?
That would be dope.
Let's get into the predictions.
Game one, Pittsburgh at Winnipeg. Jim picks first since he is still in the lead here. I'm taking Pittsburgh to win this game 5-2. Don't think Jari blanks him again, but I do think he'll win this game 5-2. Abby.
Pittsburgh. 4-2. Boom.
Andrew.
Pittsburgh. 4-3 in overtime.
Okay. Nice. All right. Next game, Vancouver at Washington. I am taking Vancouver to win this game 5-2. Abby.
Vancouver. Only a fool would pick Washington.
Only a fool would pick Washington. And if Washington wins, we're stupid. But Vancouver's going to win this game 6-2.
Guys, it's never foolish to take the favored team. Like the line for this game is going to be like Washington at plus money at like plus 300 something. It's not going to be,
because they're not going to win close. It.
So Vancouver smart money 5-1. Okay. It's just true. It's never foolish to pick the team that's favored. Never.
All right. Unless next you're putting game.
Like millions of dollars on
Tuesday, the 13th, Tampa Bay at Boston. I got Boston winning this game 3-1. Abby.
I'm also going to say Tampa Bay. Gotcha. What? I fooled you. Tampa Bay 3-2 in overtime.
Boston 3-0.
Okay.
Sorry, the baby elephant in my mouth came out there.
It's all right. Next game, Wednesday, Valentine's Day at Pittsburgh, Florida at Pittsburgh. I'm actually taking Florida in this game to win it 4-3 in overtime.
Even though when we predicted the week, you said there would be 4 points given out and yeah. Pittsburgh was going yeah. to beat Winnipeg and Florida.
Okay, but here's the thing, right? The last game Pittsburgh played against Florida, there was a little bit of bad blood where everybody thought Letang took out.
Matthew Tkachuk was being a little gutter snipe.
And I think some of that's going to carry over. And I just like, if it gets into a punching match, I like Florida because they're bigger and tougher and more aggressive.
And a better team.
More or less.
Abby, who you got?
I'm going to say Florida as well.
What the heck was that?
I have no idea. It's my thinking noise. Yes, I'm a robot. It's my...
This no, you sounded like a computer dialing up
yeah.
a modem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to say Florida. Give me a second. I'm going to say Florida 2-1.
Noise. I've got Pittsburgh 4-2. So if Pittsburgh wins, you guys are all screwed.
This is true.
We're not screwed. It's 1 point that you get on us.
Dallas, unless he gets the correct. Yeah, unless he gets the
then
score.
Then he's still losing.
All right.
I'm tied with you then, Abby.
Dallas at Nashville.
You're 4 points behind me. Dude.
I've got Dallas winning this game 5-2.
Dad, we're not listening.
Dad, we're not listening.
I know.
You're right. I can't do math.
All right. It's okay. I've got Dallas winning this game 5-2. Dallas at Nashville. Andrew, who you got? Or Abby, who you got?
Abby goes next.
Sorry.
I'm only ahead of her if I get the Pittsburgh prediction correct.
Dallas. 3-0.
Dallas 4-3.
Dallas owns Nashville. I'm sorry. Dallas
okay.
Nashville's not Nashville. Smart money, guys, even if they are favored. Don't ever put money on Nashville when they're favored. Never. Or when they're underdogs.
Just don't put money on Nashville.
I've learned that the hard way.
Dallas, I don't think Dallas has lost to Nashville in the past 2 years. I could be wrong. Maybe once. Bye. They have not lost the season series. They've lost. I don't know if they've lost more than twice to Nashville in the past 2 seasons. I don't think they have. Hmm. They just own Nashville.
They just own them?
They own them. I think they might have lost once to Nashville last year because it's a 4-game series that they play. So I think
yeah, because they're in the Central one. Together.
But yeah, they just own them. They just own them.
They just own
them. So I will, if I can, I will be watching that game because it's a Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I will be watching that game.
So,
they beat Dallas earlier this year, 6-3.
Nashville has actually won the last two games.
They currently lead the season series 2-1.
Do they actually?
Nashville beat Dallas 6-3 in Dallas on January 12th, and then 4-3 in Dallas on the 6th of January.
How you like that?
Dallas beat them in Nashville 3-2 in December, and then this is the fourth game of the series. So,
but it's in Nashville?
It is in Nashville.
I feel like we beat them in Nashville, but so maybe, you know what? I don't know anything apparently, so I'm not. Maybe
I should put money. Maybe I should put money on Nashville. Don't put money on Nashville. Warn people not to put money on Nashville.
Dallas owns Nashville. Period.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that 6-3 loss might have been when Otter was injured.
I'm gonna be honest. This 6-3 loss was not what it seemed. It was 4-3 with 3 minutes left. They emptied their net, and Nyquist and Parson and scored empty netters. So it's not what it seems. It wasn't as big of a blow.
That's true.
So they were all pretty much one score games.
So there you go. You were beating up on my Dallas Star.
I was not beating up on your
Dallas. You were verbally abusing my Dallas Star.
All right, let's get a recap of the predictions, please.
All right. So game one, Pittsburgh at Winnipeg. Everybody's picking Pittsburgh. Andrew 4-3 in overtime. Abby 4-2. Jim 5-2. Vancouver at Washington. Everybody's taking Vancouver. Andrew 5-1. Abby 6-2. Jim 5-2. Tampa Bay at Boston. Andrew and Jim are taking Boston. Andrew 3-0. Jim 3-1. Abby is taking Tampa 3-2 in overtime. Florida at Pittsburgh. Jim and Abby are taking Florida. Abby 2-1, Jim 4-3 in overtime. Andrew is taking Pittsburgh 4-2. And Dallas at Nashville, everybody's taking Dallas. Andrew 4-3, Abby 3-0, Jim 5-2. And that
all right
is the prediction right. contest for week 19.
All right.
You so done?
Gonna wrap up. Yeah. Are you done? That's the question. Okay. That's going to wrap up this episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast. Abby, stop making your face. That face, you're going to stick that way. thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast. If you want to follow us on the Instagram and the Facebook, do that. At Pens and Stuff podcast. I don't know. The links are in the
show description.
Yeah. Make sure you use code THPN and DraftKings Sportsbook to get the deal.
The promotion.
The promotion. Yeah. The code is THPN. Again, that's THPN. And until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Abby.
Let's go, Pens.
Let's go, Pens.
Let's freaking go.